What's up, cuties? I feel like I haven't talked to y'all in a while, even though it was just a couple days ago. We've been running around, enjoying this nice weather. We had hurling practice over the weekend. Oh, we went to the horse race. So I grew up in South Carolina, and my family and I always went to the Carolina Cup horse race in Camden. And we also went to the Colonial Cup. And when I had kids, I was like, oh man, I can't wait to bring my kids here because like I just enjoyed going to them so much. I loved watching the jockeys get ready and watching them warm up. And I actually met Davy Jones from the Monkees there one year because I believe he owned a horse. And it's been almost 10 years. I think it's been 8 years since the flood happened in Columbia and my parents' house got destroyed and they ended up moving to another state. And so I never took our kids to the Carolina Cup. My parents invited us to go to the Tryon horse race in North Carolina. And that was a lot of fun. It was definitely different than the Carolina Cup, but we still had a lot of fun. The weather was great and we had a really good spot and my kids really enjoyed it. They also had, which is so random, they also had a kids area with activities and they had hobby horsing and you could actually buy like a hobby horse, which is, you know, the horse head on a stick that you had as a kid. And that cracked me up because there is a TikToker that I follow who's so funny. I'll add her TikTok to the description because I forgot. I don't know what her handle is. Anyways, she does a series of hobby horsing and I crack up every time I see it. And I was giggling to myself thinking about her videos as my kids were trying hobby horsing. So we did that. That was a lot of fun. And then we had hurling practice and I'm actually getting ready to go to New York this weekend for a really big camogie tournament with camogues from all over. And we are combining forces and creating this amazing team. So we shall see how that goes. I usually get really anxious and nervous before tournaments like this, mainly because A, I don't know what to expect. B, our brains don't like uncertainty, and therefore, since I don't know what to expect, everything's uncertain. And C, because I usually doubt my abilities, and I get really down on myself for being doubtful and not being confident. And I've been talking to one of my friends about this, and then another teammate said, he said, leave your self-criticism at home. And as y'all know, that's something that I have struggled with, but I'm working on. I've also been talking to my husband, and it was like last week. Actually, he listens to motivational podcast and he sent me a couple and I listened to them and then I was like, oh, okay, I like these. And I forgot, I don't know which one it was, but one of them was talking about belief. And if you've been on this podcast journey with me and if you've been through like my life coaching journey with me, then you know that I just change things up a lot. And one of the main reasons is because I've been searching for how to speak my voice and speak about what I want to speak about and what I'm passionate about and what I know I can help people with. And all of the things that I've tried just comes down to believing in yourself. Because if you don't believe in yourself, then you aren't going to achieve the goals that you want to achieve. I mean, you may, but it's going to be rather difficult in my opinion. And building that self-belief and that self-trust up will in turn help you reconnect with yourself and help you love yourself, and you'll allow space for grace and for letting go of shame, and you'll push past your fears and your doubts and push past discomfort, and you'll start growing and you'll start transforming your life in the way that you want to live. This feels very aligned with me. And I think I've just been on this journey for 3 years building this thing to be what it is right now. And it was like last week I had this mental shift and, you know, I've been in a rut and it kind of all connected for me. And it was a moment to where I really was like, why am I still holding on to these negative thought patterns in this negative cycle? Like, why am I not believing in myself? And it stems from these fears. And so what I did a couple of days ago was, so Noah Kahan, he's one of my favorite artists. I never skip a Noah Kahan song. All of them are so great. And one of the songs, Passenger, the very first lyrics are, I think I found a way to keep myself whole. I write my fears on green notes. I swallow my doubts away and watch them grow old. Is that why the past year seems slow? That's been in the back of my mind for, I mean, just months. I literally went and bought green paper, lined paper, like legal pads, but green. And I said, all right, I'm done feeling this way. So I wrote down my fears and I walked outside and I lit them on fire. Once I get that out, especially out of my head, because I intellectualize way too much, way too often, which then hinders me from taking action on something. But once I did that, it's like, oh, okay, now moving on. It wasn't a big deal. It helped me let go of what has been keeping me back. And that ties into, that was a really long intro, but that ties into what I wanted to talk about today, which is why affirmations aren't working. Because I know a lot of what people teach or what I've heard are, you know, do affirmations. Writing affirmations down is like, I am smart, I am pretty. The quote from The Help always comes to mind, where she says, you as kind, you as smart, you as important. That's what it is. So if you are writing that as an affirmation, you would say, I'm smart, I'm kind, I am important. And when you write that, if it feels uncomfortable and if it feels weird to write that down, it's because you aren't believing that to be true yet. Like if you stand, if you've walked around not liking your body for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and then you start writing down, I love my body, I'm so beautiful, I love my legs, I love my arms, whatever. And if you write that down over and over again, you may feel a slight change, but unless you're taking action on that and unless you have an emotional connection with that, and if you believe that those affirmations are possible for you to believe, then those affirmations will be impactful. But if affirmations are not working for you, it's because you don't believe in the possibility of them to be true for you. You may want to feel a certain way, like feel confident or feel happy, feel beautiful, feel a sense of purpose, feel secure. But simply repeating them over and over again isn't going to change your results. Affirmations may not have an impact because of your lack of belief, due to your doubt or fears or discomfort or uncertainty or confusion, or your negative self-talk is persistent. You may set unrealistic expectations, which lead to inconsistency, which then creates a lack of action and in turn creates a lack of emotional connection with yourself because you aren't open to the possibility of believing that statement to be true about you. Doesn't matter how many times you write it down. For some people. For other people who, you know, we all think differently. And we all, our brains are wired differently. So this is for those who want to feel a different way about themselves. And they've tried and tried things. and nothing really seems to be sticking and nothing seems to be changing, this is probably why. And you have to develop some self-awareness and openness for affirmations to work, because you're opening up your mind to create new thoughts, and you're going to be self-aware of your negative self-talk. And then you're going to be self-aware of your negative self-talk and then have a plan to shift that perspective. Not necessarily jump from negative to straight positive, because there is like this notion of over positivity, but it's a gradual shift of, I'm not liking my body and I haven't the last 15 years, but I can get to a point to where I respect my body, right? So respecting your body is different than, oh, I love my body. So you're making gradual shifts from not liking your body to respecting your body to then being open to the possibility of then loving your body. And, you know, insert whatever else besides body into it. Because you need to combine possibility and belief and self-trust in action to create alignment with the affirmations that you are writing down, that you've been practicing. If also your affirmations may be really vague or just general, which then will not resonate an emotional connection to you. Like, you may see somebody online, right? I am smart, I am funny, I am kind, whatever they write down, and then you kind of mimic what they are writing down, and it may not resonate with you because it doesn't fit your individuality and it doesn't fit your specific needs or your specific things that you want to change. So you may need to personalize your affirmations more that address your specific challenges or goals. And that could be more impactful. So also getting clear on what your goals are, but also having self-awareness of what your challenges are, what's been getting in your way from achieving those goals. You may also just have emotional blocks from past traumas, or maybe you've been trying to solve for the wrong problem. Maybe you just have unresolved emotional damage that you are avoiding. And right, the more you avoid something, the more you avoid something. And so maybe you just need to deal with an underlying emotional obstacle. And you may need to do that before practicing the art of affirmations. And with any like self-growth or self-discovery, wellness journey, whatever you want to call it, takes time and it takes patience, because I hear this all the time. It's not an overnight process. It's not an overnight shift. For me, when I said last week a switch changed, it's because I've been dealing with this for a very long time. And I have worked on myself for almost a decade now. So it's been like 10 years in the making. So when I say it was a switch that went off, it's been stuck halfway for a very long time. And I think that was just the end of that era. And it's because I have worked on my self-belief and my self-trust and my self-love. And I've been taking action that aligns with those behaviors and from writing affirmations down. It's your job to explore why you aren't believing in the end goal. So when you're writing affirmations down and you aren't believing, and there's no emotional connection to it, where you think it's hard to come up with one, or it's not aligning with who you are, or you aren't being consistent with it, then you need to start looking at your limited beliefs. And that's what I work with my clients on. We figure out what their goal is, figure out what's stopping them from achieving that goal, and the underlying cause of it most of the time is they don't believe in themselves, and they don't believe that they deserve to reach that goal. They don't believe that goal is possible for them. So they're closing themselves off from that change and from that opportunity. When I work with clients one-on-one, then we create this individualized plan, and we set mini goals, and then we come back each week and we evaluate what worked, what didn't work, what they could do differently. And each week they are making progress and making strides towards their goals without falling off the belief wagon, because with every success comes with failures. And so I am there to support them and help them see pieces that are missing in their puzzles and help them connect all the pieces together. And this is what, this to me feels right, because I know I've struggled with this for so long, and it's always been part of Cue the New You. I just didn't really know how to articulate it until recently. Like I said, everything just kind of clicked. And it's been a 3-year-long process of this, because it comes down to, if you don't believe in yourself, you don't believe you are good enough, you don't believe you are worthy enough to achieve a goal, then you won't. A friend sent me a message, and I don't know if it's a quote, but let me see if I can find it. Let's see. I can't find it. So it was like, you can't be mad at the things you have not done, or something like that. So you can't be mad at yourself for not getting a result or for not achieving a goal because you haven't done the work. You need to figure out why you aren't doing the work to achieve that goal. And that takes, again, time, and that takes practice. And that's why working with a coach can be vital and can be impactful and beneficial for you. You know, it's like having a soccer coach. You may get better on your own, but it's so helpful to have an outside perspective, somebody who has had experience and somebody who knows how to make you better, to improve your skills, because you may think you need to work on your speed when really you need to work on your technique first or something like that. Because I know for me, I am the only one who gets in my way all the time. It happens all the time. So it's nice having coaches around who can help you and support you. And I know most coaches that I've worked with that I know have coaches, because they have goals and they have human brains and they think the same way that we think. And so if they have this big ambitious goal that they're trying to achieve, then they go get the support that they need in order to achieve it. And that's that. So the next time you're writing down affirmations, or you want to try writing down affirmations, and it's just not vibing with you, it's not aligning with who you are, maybe it's what you desire to be at some point in your life, and if you are writing it down and you don't believe it, then you need to ask yourself why. And you need to start uncovering what's there, what fear is there, what doubt is there, why you're thinking that way. Why can't it be possible for you to believe in that affirmation? And just get curious. I like to call it is gentle curiosity, and start asking yourself questions and then see what comes up for you. And like, I'm here as a coach if you need support, especially when it comes down to your mental, physical, or emotional well-being, because I want to empower health-driven women to start believing in themselves, to start achieving their goals. Because how fun would it be to achieve your goal? If you're like, man, I want to, I don't know, make $1 million. Like, how cool would that be to make $1 million? Or I want to lose this last 10 pounds and keep it off for good. Like, how amazing would that be for you to achieve that? Maybe it's, I want to let go of mom guilt so I can be more present with my kids and my spouse. How amazing would that relationship be with your kids, with your spouse, with yourself, if you worked on that? Think about your future self. If anything were possible, what would you want? What do you want to believe in? And why are you not believing in that now? I think it's fun when you set a goal and then you achieve it. And then you're like, okay, what's the next goal?
Oh, you know, I said that I wanted to make a goal to run 3 miles in 24 minutes at the end of June. Okay, so Rob and I ran a mile. I was kind of sick last week, so I like didn't work out, and I was like, I need to move my body. When I sit down at my desk, my stupid walking treadmill broke. So I just sat all last week and this week. And anyway, so I wanted to move my body, and we were at our kids' soccer practice where they have a flat trail, and definitely flatter than our neighborhood where we usually run. And I was like, oh, I just want to run a mile. And so we started, and I was like, damn, I feel pretty good. I wonder how fast it is. I didn't even look at the pace, and it was something like a 7:40 pace, which when I run in the neighborhood, it's like a 9:20 pace or something like that. So it was a significant difference running on flatter land than running around hills. So I mean, I think I can. I want to time a 3 minute mile. I mean, not a 3 minute mile. Good God, I want to time my 3 mile pace soon, because I think I'm closer than I actually think I am to that 24 minutes for 3 miles. So I don't know. That's just like a fun goal to have. And then Marina and I are like, oh, we should make it a goal to be able to do 5 pull-ups by, I think it was by her birthday in July. So we practiced that this week. But like, how cool would it be to be like, oh yeah, I can do 5 pull-ups, no sweat. But that's going to take a lot of work, a lot of hard work, which is fine. That's why I go to the gym, because I want to see those results. And I believe that we both can do that. We both can hit that 5 pull-up goal. Think about goals that you want to set for yourself. And again, the more specific you can get, the better. That would be, if you're trying to write affirmations, write down specific affirmations that will help you achieve those goals, or that will help you shift your mindset, so you can then start emotionally connecting with yourself and believing in yourself and just doing some amazing shit. All of us are capable of it. You just have to find what works for you. Affirmations don't work for everybody, and that's okay. All right, I'm going to jump off here. I have some shit I got to do today, so I hope this was a good one for you to hear, because, again, we're all capable of amazing things. You just have to believe in yourself and believe it's possible to achieve whatever goal, whatever dream you want to achieve. And I'm here for you if you need. So anyways, I will talk to y'all next week. I'm super excited about New York. I'll let you know how that tournament goes. I'm going into it with confidence, and I'm going to be confident with the ball. And I've been going to these camogie trainings and hurling trainings, and a former hurling player who moves, I assume he still plays, but he may just coach now. Anyways, I played against him. There's a funny story there, but he's been coaching at these workshops, and he kept saying, instead of dwelling on the pass mistake, like if you missed a pass, if you whiffed the ball, if you didn't catch it, if the other team scored on you, whatever it is, think about the next ball. Don't think about what just happened. Think about the next ball. If you miss a catch, think, okay, well, what can I do with the next ball? What can I do with the next ball? And it's so simple, and that just resonated with me. And that's what I've been thinking about on the field. And I'm trying not to be like, oh, why didn't you do blah, blah, blah? Like getting down on myself like I am comfortable doing. And so just repeating that, see, that's like I guess it's not an affirmation, it's more of a mantra, but reminding myself the next ball. So it was like with this podcast, actually I heard Jesse Eisler, Sarah Blakely's husband, Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx, her husband, and I just watched a clip of his, and he was like, there are, I don't know, 2 million or something podcasts on Apple Podcasts, and only like 300,000 of them produce more than one episode. And to me, that was mind-blowing. It's like, so many people, I guess, try to start podcasts, and then after one episode, they give up. And it's like me. This is my second season, and I'm like still figuring this shit out. Like, I know my podcasts aren't the best right now, but I know in a couple months that they're going to be amazing and they're going to help so many people. And like, I am not dwelling on past podcast episodes. I'm just looking forward to the next one because I know with each one I do grows my confidence and grows my belief that I'm here and I'm helping people. Anyways, I'll let y'all know how the tournament goes. I'm really excited. Okay, I'm signing off. I love y'all, and I'll talk to y'all next week. Okay, bye.